I want to give 2 Kings chapter number 7, and look what it says in verse number 1. As you're turning there, this passage is very near and dear to my heart, especially verse number 9. I'll explain it afterwards, but 2 Kings chapter number 7, and look what it says in verse number 1. 2 Kings 7, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Look what it says in verse number 9. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Look what it says in that verse number 9. We do not well. God's intention is for the world to hear about the good news of the gospel. We see this throughout the Bible. Even the final command that God gave before he went up into heaven was to spread the gospel to every creature. And that tells me that souls matter a lot to God. And if it's God's will, it is God's will that men everywhere should repent. And if it is a priority to God, it should be a priority in our life as well. You see, throughout Christ's ministry, many people were looking forward to a time that God would come down and set up his kingdom, overthrow a government. But the Bible says that his will, his job was to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was us. We were the ones lost in our sins. We were the ones in need of a savior. I don't know about you, but that's good news. We hear a lot of bad news and all that's going on around the world, but it's so good to hear some good news. And we all enjoy that. I remember growing up, even now, anytime a friend of mine or my siblings come to me and say, Hey, Ben, do you want the bad news or the good news? 99.9% of the time, I want to start with the bad news. Why? Because I want to get that over with and get to the good news. We all want to hear good news this evening. But in our text this evening, this is the opposite of good news. If you look at what's going on in this chapter, there was a pretty bad famine going on in Syria. King Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, he had entered into siege with this city. He besieged Samaria. And as a result of that, there was this great famine. And if you look at chapter number 6 and verse 25, it compares the prices of what you would get at a supermarket. So I looked at it and it said that a donkey's head costs 80 pieces of silver. I tried to do the calculations as best as I could, but you valued a piece of silver based on the weight. And they calculated it. After doing all the calculations, they said the head of a donkey, not the leg or anything like that, but the head of a donkey cost almost $900 in that time. Because of the famine, prices were going up, and there was nothing that they can do. And the sad thing about that is, if you continue reading
through chapter 6, this famine was so bad that there were some people who were even eating their kids, their sons. This is one of the worst famines I've ever read about in the Bible. So this was a very desperate time. And the king was mourning. He put on sackcloth because of this famine time in Samaria. This was a city of no hope. They didn't know what to do. They needed deliverance. People panicked. People were scared. But then the word of the Lord comes through. He speaks through Elisha. And he tells the king, once he hears everything that's going on, he tells the king that at this time, God is going to do something. He said, food will be provided. The prices will go back to the way it should be. But there's a man here who does not believe. He said, even if God opened up the windows of heaven, how is this thing even possible? And we see at the end of this chapter that because he didn't believe, he's not able to partake in the blessings that God has for this city. But I find it very interesting that of all the people God decides to use to bring peace to the city, to bring food to the city, he uses some unlikely characters. He uses 4 leprous men. As I said, God's will is that everyone should repent. But the question I have for you this evening is, what part are you playing in that? Are you bringing souls to Christ? Are you allowing God to use you to fulfill his plan? As many of you know, I grew up on the mission field. I grew up in Nigeria. I spent 13 years there. And this verse, verse number 9, was our family's theme verse as missionaries. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. As I said, we were there for 13 years, and my daddy he's not a pastor, he's an evangelist, he plants churches, but something that's so unique about our ministry that I don't see a lot of ministries do, especially in Nigeria, was we provide Bibles. Throughout all the years that we were there in Nigeria, we would raise funds to ship containers of Bibles to pass out in Nigeria, and accumulatively, over the past 13 years, we've been able to pass out 10,000 Bibles, which is a blessing. But I think the last time my dad was here, he spoke about a need. He talked about a container that was kind of being held up ever since COVID. The sad thing about that is the Muslim people that were there, they drilled a hole in the container and they would pour oil and water inside the container. They damaged over 6,000 Bibles. But praise the Lord, and you'll see a picture of that in a little bit, but the blessing is we were able to salvage 4,000 Bibles, so we were able to use that. But when I took this trip to Nigeria, I noticed that not just Nigeria, but in many countries of the world, there are cities who are desperate, cities who are looking for hope, a city that needs Christ. Very quickly, just a few observations that I see in this passage. They'll discover it in verses 7 through 8. They discover food. They discover clothes. Everything that the Syrians had that they needed, they found in this tent. This was a blessing. This was an answer to prayer. But they made a decision in verse number 9. They were enjoying all these things, these riches, this food. They were enjoying everything. As I think about this passage, leprous people in the Bible, they couldn't enjoy a lot of things. They were cast out of the city. They were abandoned. They couldn't spend time with family or friends. This was the one time that they could enjoy themselves, enjoy something that many people didn't have. But even someone who was a leper, someone who had every right to just stay there in that tent, they decided, hey, we do not well. This day is a good tidings, and we hold our peace. If you continue, they make the decision that they're going to go tell the king. I have a feeling this evening that we have a lot of Christians who are holding their peace. And I feel guilty about this as well, because even many times I'm guilty of this exact same thing. We have Jesus Christ living inside us. We have the truth of the gospel, the good news that so many people are searching for. And so many times we are holding our peace. We went through Come and See series when we were leading up to Easter. We went through the Bible and learned how there were people whose life were changed because of experiencing Jesus. And we have the same good news. It hasn't changed. We still have it. And people are looking for the truth. Will you be a part of telling them? Even to the crazy man, Jesus said in Mark 5:19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You see, Sunday nights, this is why we have testimony time. This is why we have times of rejoicing, because we rejoice what God has done. But then many people say, you know what? God can do that for me. I don't know how God can work in my situation, but I'm going to try. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God's face. But the truth is, we have many people that God has placed in our path that don't know the good news of the gospel, the peace and the joy that we experience and we have because of Christ. But we hold our peace. I'm sure God is bringing some people to your mind right now who you know need Christ, who you know need to experience that peace and joy that only Jesus can offer. I'm sure this illustration has been told a couple times, but when I was in school, there was this young man who preached. He preached in one of my homiletics classes, and the illustration he gave was he had everyone close their eyes, and he mentioned some people that we come across every day. He said, there's the cashier who bags up your groceries. There's the waiter, the waitress who serves you your food. There's the people who are walking their dog as you're going on your walk or run, whatever it may be. There are people that we cross paths with every single day who they may put on a smile, they may seem happy, but they don't know the peace and joy that you and I have. Are you holding their peace? And in the final verses of this chapter, God delivers them. The thing that God said he did, that he would do, he did. You know, God's desire is to use us. You may think, how is God going to use me to tell my friends about Jesus, to bring my family to Christ, or to even bring them to church? How is God going to use me? Well, he used four leprous men. He used a woman at Samaria who was an outcast and everyone knew their reputation. There are so many characters in the Bible that God used. If God could use someone who is an outcast, a leprous man, to bring peace and food and whatever they need during that famine time, think of what God can do in your life. You can be a part of God using you. And it was a blessing that for a few weeks I was able to go to Nigeria, and God was able to use me and my dad to bring this good news of the gospel. And a few lessons that I learned from Nigeria is God is still working. I know you hear a lot of stuff on the news, especially with a dear brother passing away. It's sad, it's unfortunate, but God is doing great things in Nigeria, and God is still saving. So I have a few pictures here that I would like to show. It was from May 12th to June 1st. And as you can see, there's a circle right there. Let me see, maybe I can move a bit this way so people can see. We were in the eastern part of Nigeria, southeast, and it was called Aba. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this. Usually, we'd be more far west, as you can see. That's where our ministry was. But one day, we were having this conference, and this young man named Goodness, his name was Goodness, he came to my dad. Yes, great name. You'll learn that in Nigeria. They have, Pastor, you probably know this in Kenya. They have all sorts of different names. Goodness, peace, joy. It's pretty cool. But his name was Goodness. And he went to my dad and he said, Sir, my school, we have no one that comes and gives us Bibles. We have no one to come and give us the gospel. Would you be able to come down to this area and preach to my school? So to make a long story short, that's how we had a ministry in this area in Abia State. This place has so many schools. And I was kind of expecting one school and then that's pretty much it. But there are colleges, there's high schools. This area, there's a lot of businesses and there are a lot of people who go to school there for a higher level of education. But there are so many schools here. And as I mentioned about the Bibles, this was when I first got to Nigeria. Welcome to Nigeria. It upgraded a bit when I first got there. But this is a picture of the Bibles that were in a container. On the far left side are the 4,000 Bibles that were safe from the damages. But unfortunately, over 6,000 Bibles were damaged because of what they did to the shipping container. But praise the Lord, the Bibles were still delivered. We still had 4,000 Bibles delivered, which was a blessing. They transported those Bibles in a van, and it was taken to the eastern part of Nigeria where we were at to minister to them. This was our hosting pastor, Pastor George Kamalu. He was the one that did all of our scheduling for us. He was the one who knows the schools and the churches that we were in to help have a way to get into those schools and churches. This was my first meal in Nigeria, one of my favorite meals, basically. It's called pounded yam and egusi soup. The pounded yam, the best way I can describe it is mashed potatoes, but a lot more grounded and firm. It's really good. And the egusi, it will take a long time to explain it, but just know it's good. It is really good. It is really good. This was the first church that we were at, so the plan for us for those 2 weeks, my dad would preach at the schools, and I would preach at the churches. And for these village churches, it was a two-day revival. Now you may say, why not one day? Well, the first day, barely anyone would show up, 10, 15 people. But then once they see the Bibles, once they hear the gospel, they will bring all their friends, they will bring all their families to hear the gospel and get a Bible. So this is one of the church plants. May I also say, if we go back to Pastor George's picture, he is the one that has trained young men to go into the villages and plant churches. And all these churches that we were at were young men who were trained by Pastor George and planted a church in their village. So these were the 2 days of revival that we had at that church plant. This was the first school that we were at. This is a nursing school of health, and this is my dad preaching. This was our first stop that evening. This was a Sunday night, and this is a picture of all of them receiving their Bibles. I truly can't explain to you how happy they were to get a Bible. And I have a story later on that I'll share about a girl who received a Bible after having one that was torn and worn for so many years. But they were very happy to receive their Bible. Something about that young man, the pastor bought a keyboard and a violin. And he said, whoever would like to learn how to play it, they have to teach themselves. His name is Charles. He is self-taught with the violin. He taught himself. I was able to preach at a secondary school. So secondary, as you can see, it's all equivalent to high school students. And primary, it's the equivalent to up to middle school, from first grade up to middle school. So I had the opportunity to preach to the secondary high school students, and my dad preached to the middle school. And these were some ladies who received their own copy of the Word of God. The pictures, yep. They were like, take a picture, take a picture. But this is the group on the primary side. The young man that's standing beside me, his name is Wisdom. He has graduated, and he is praying about planting a church where he lives as well. This is another school that we were at. This is an all-girl, just a girl's school of them receiving the Bibles and hearing the Word of God. The awesome thing about the picture on the left is as soon as they received the Bible, the girl opened it up, saw a word that she did not understand, ran to my dad and asked, what does this word mean? Like, this isn't just a, just because they're taking pictures that, oh, I want to open the Bible. They are genuinely excited to get their hands on the Word of God. It's the second church that we were at, Pastor Chukwuma and his wife. Again, Pastor George there on the left side of me. He also was trained in this institute and went to go plant a church in his village. I was able to preach there 2 nights. And as I said, first night, 10, 15 people. And we had to change the time so that people could get back from work, from farming and all of that. And they were able to hear the Word of God. Many people got saved, and they received their Bibles. As you can see, a great crowd of people there. This girl has, this was the first Bible that this girl has ever owned. after people were leaving there, she was just sitting there reading the Bible. It's definitely it's humbling. When you see how they receive the Bible, and I think, man, this is something that, you know, we take for granted. We may have 3 or 4 Bibles at home, and this was the first one that she ever owned. This was another village that we were at, Pastor Edwin and his family. This one was pretty interesting because when I walked to the church, I expected the service to be inside, but they just started to bring chairs outside, and I learned that it was because people that were coming from their villages, hearing that the Bible was being given, they were always coming in droves and drives to come and hear the word of God. It was awesome. This is the chairs outside, and at the end of the night, these were people that received the Bibles. This was the second night. And the pastor said, hey, you know what? Don't worry about time. Just preach. Don't worry about it being dark or anything. They said they'll be fine when they go back home, but they want to hear the word of God. So this is pretty funny. I was sitting off to the side, and there were some kids kind of off to the side to my left. And I would look at them, and they wouldn't make eye contact with me. So I was trying to, I was kind of messing with them, trying to make a joke, but they were very serious, and one of the kids smiled. And as soon as I put out my phone to take a picture of them, they all smiled, and they all wanted to take a picture. They were all laughing, and they're awesome. They're awesome kids. These were 2 college students who received Bibles at Temple Gate. I will also say this. At each school, there has to be the president of the student body who organizes all of this. So in each school that you see, there was a young man who is organizing this, and he has to go to teachers. They have to approve this. They have to approve the Bibles coming in. And it's amazing how, as soon as you mention a Bible, how excited people get so that they can receive a copy of the Word of God. This was another school that we were at, primary secondary school. You can kind of tell by the uniforms, the different schools there. And they really practiced praying right before my dad gave an invitation. It's another school, Abia Poly High College. This college is one of the biggest schools in that area. And we've been there a few years ever since starting to when that young man came to us and asked. This was his school. And these are all the people taking a picture of when they received their Bibles. This was pretty interesting. This was an all-girls school, almost 500 kids. And that was half of them. The other half, they were at a different area taking an exam. They were not able to join, but there were a lot of kids. This was off the final village church that we were at. Again, the pastor standing beside me. He was also trained through Pastor George's Institute and planted a church in their village. I was able to preach both nights there. And they had people on this side, and then they had people on my left side, and they just kept adding chairs because of the people that were there. This is a pretty cool story. So one of the days we were supposed to be at a school, they canceled it. And this young man standing by my dad, his name is Prosper. He was at the names are fun. The names are cool. This young man, he was a part of one of the schools that we were at. And he said, hey, if you have a free day, a day that you're not doing anything, could you come and preach at my church? Now, this church is very interesting because it's a very different church. We don't believe the same way, some doctrinal issues, but they wanted to hear the gospel, and that's exactly what my dad preached. They preached the gospel, and people got Bibles. As we were passing them out, literally there was a lady who got up and just started crying because she said she did not believe that if she went to church that day that she would leave with a Bible. So it was a huge blessing to be able to minister that way. This was pretty cool. So after we finished on the eastern part of Nigeria, I was able to go back home to where I grew up. And it was nostalgic, but it was also very weird. It was definitely a part of my life that I enjoyed, but it was awesome. It was good to visit back there. On the far left side, Pastor Ezra and his family. His dad started a school and a church there. His dad recently passed away, and now he is pastoring a church there. He actually grew up in the States and then went back to Nigeria and planted a church. Mrs. Akande, the lady right there in the middle, she was very influential with allowing one of my brothers to still be alive. She's a nurse at a hospital there, and my brother almost passed because of a sickness that he got there. And she was one of the head nurses. She was able to get the right medicine to him, and he was able to live. So we were able to meet her again, and it was good to see her. Pastor Oyedele, he is one of our church plant pastors that we started, and still faithful, went to the church. And the cool thing about planting churches over there is you kind of help, when you plant a church, you help them get started, a basic building and a roof to keep the sun and the rain out. And then you leave, and then you see how the church grows and how they add the windows, the doors, and all that. So it was awesome to see all that God is doing over there. And then another pastor friend of ours right there. But this is Ogboma Show. This is where we grew up. And it's funny, I wasn't planning on preaching that Sunday, but I ended up preaching that Sunday at his church. And this was pretty cool. They had Children's Day at the church, and the kids ran everything. They had a young man preach, like a 10-minute charge. They had a young man lead the singing as best as he could. They had the kids doing the offering. It was pretty cool to see. And you know, they don't have to wait. Kids don't have to wait till they grow up to start serving. They can start serving right away. And it was so cool to see even Eliana singing. That's awesome. That's how you start. True. And now, okay, there's a few things that I saw that's kind of interesting. I thought I'd share a bit of that. As soon as we landed, we got stuck in traffic. And instead of trying to figure out how to get through the traffic, a whole new road was created. Pastor, I'm sure you know this, especially being in Kenya. The area that people were walking, they decided to just make that a road. So that was mine as well. but it ended up that being in traffic as well, so that was pretty funny. So something that Nigeria does but not very good at, they're very good copycats. So this is a off-brand knockoff water bottle of Aquafina. And they called it, if you can see, Aqua V. So I think they were trying to trick me, being a visitor there, but it was good. But a funny story, Matt, I told the kids this last week. We went shopping for peanut butter, and we thought we saw Skippy peanut butter. Oh, we were so happy. We were so excited. But then we tried it, and we were like, you know, it's not bad. It's not Skippy, but it's good. Then we looked at the name. It wasn't Skippy. It was Skitty. So they took two of the B's and put two D's there. So, you know, they'll try their best, but that's about it. That's about it. Mattresses transported on top of a car. That was a common theme. This was interesting. I had never seen this before. So when I showed someone a picture, they thought that was the engine on top of the keke. But this is actually someone transporting a generator to someone's house. So many generators go over there to Nigeria. Instead of fixing the issue, which is the electricity there, they continue to bring in more generators. So a problem is not getting fixed, it's just getting worse. So it's pretty, but again, thankful for what we have, amen. I'm so sorry, the formatting, but I saw a cow being led on the road with cars driving. I had, for 13 years I've never seen that. I've only seen the cows on the side of the road where they're supposed to be, but he was dodging traffic, leading a cow to its death probably. But yeah, this was an interesting time. There was so we were supposed to leave on Friday, but there was a security issue at that time. There were a civil war movement that was going on, and because of that, we had to leave a day early and sleep at one of the churches that allowed us to sleep there. And then we had to leave at 4 a.m. just so that we could get out of the streets, They said people get killed because of that. So we were safe. Everyone turned out safe, but praise the Lord for that. This is pretty cool. So this is a fruit or a plant that produces palm oil. Now, palm oil is something that they put in all the soups and all of the pretty much all the foods that they make there. It's not good on its own. It's healthy, but it's not good on its own. But it's like it enhances the food that's there. But I took a picture of that to show you the next picture. This is a young man who's carrying it. He climbed a palm tree up to go knock some coconuts, but also this fruit down. But if you can see this little girl right in the background, she went home, grabbed a rag, and put it on her head so that she too can carry some fruit back to her village. I thought that was so cool. I take a picture of you. She ran away. So that was the best that I could find. But this is the story that I would like to close with, and this is a pretty interesting story. So this young girl was one of the students that we went to preach at her school. And once she received her new Bible, she went back into the classroom, and she brought this out. This is the Bible that she got when she was young, and she had used it all these years. This is a makeshift cover. Her cover broke off years ago. The first 5 chapters of Genesis are missing. And chapter 6 is about to be torn out. As soon as she handed me this, I thought of all the Bibles I had in my house. In perfect condition. This is a city that had no hope, no deliverance. And God used four leprous men to go and help the city. You know, I'm not sure what role that either of us or what we may have in missions, but I think of every time Pastor announces missions conference. You know, and I know it's throughout the week, it's inconvenient, but God's doing the work here, and we can have a part in the life of many people to be saved, but not only that, be able to have a copy of the Word of God. I remember talking to a young man, I'm saying, look, it doesn't matter if you carry the Bible. Nigeria is a very superstitious country. They'll carry the Bible and put it on their dash so that they can be safe on the road. But I said, what truly matters is the words that's in the Bible, because you get to know God. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, man, these are people who don't have Bibles. How can they get to know God? They get saved, they go to a church, but how can they personally have a Bible? That's why I think it's a blessing, you know, when we have missions conference and we hear about being able to give and all that, it's a blessing because we get to have a small part in people's stories like this, of not only receiving a Bible, but hearing the plan of salvation so that God can do a work in their hearts. It's a blessing to hear about efforts, food, and all that around the world. It's great. But what truly matters is that their heart is changed and that God is doing a work in their hearts. So once again, First Baptist, thank you for sending me. It was a blessing. Let's bow our head, close our eyes, and have a word of prayer.
Let's take a moment and pray. Ask the Lord what He would have you do for missions. Some go around the world. Some others can go across the country. Everyone can go across the street and down on their knees and can give. Dear Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, would you speak to every heart and every soul? Stir us, O Father, and show us, God, our part of missions here and around the world. Show us our part. Stir us for greater faith to be involved. We ask this in Jesus' name. As she plays, won't you pray? Our Father and our God, as we go from this place tonight, help us, God, to take the gospel to those that have not heard, to those that have been cold, to those, Father, who need it most. Bless us as we go in Christ's name. Amen.